regularly this Sunday in Advent, the third Sunday of Advent, the focus is on John the Baptizer. Next Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Advent, the focus is always on Mary, the Mother of the Lord. So it might be well to take just a few moments today to reflect on this figure, John the Baptizer. Jesus will say of him, there has never been a person in all of history who is greater than John the Baptizer. We know that John is a relative of Jesus. John's mother is Elizabeth, and his father is Zechariah, and Elizabeth is a blood relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Western Church doesn't make as much out of John the Baptizer as does the Eastern Church. He's a very significant figure in Eastern spirituality. Very often when you see a picture or an icon of the Last Judgment, Jesus is seated on a throne, and on one side of Jesus is Mary, his mother, the archetype or the example of what a disciple is, and on the other side of Jesus stands John the Baptizer. And the reason for that is the belief that John the Baptizer is the one who announced the coming of Jesus the first time. John the Baptizer will announce the coming of Jesus at the end of time. Tradition has it that John lived in the desert, and it is possible that John lived in a community of people in the desert, not unlike the Dead Sea Scroll community, the community of the Essenes. That John lived a sparse life, and John was a zealot. John had an enthusiasm in him about the coming of the Messiah. John goes out, and at the Jordan River, he begins to proclaim a gospel of repentance, calling people to change their lives. Matthew, Mark, and Luke describe him as a very confrontational figure. He says to the Pharisees and the scribes who have come out from the city to hear him, he asks them, who told you to flee the judgment, you hypocrites? Not a very nice way to welcome your guests. And people kept saying to him, what shall we do? And he says, if you have two coats, give one away. If you have more than enough to eat, share what's on your table with someone else. Soldiers said, what shall we do? He said, be satisfied with your pay, do not extort money from anyone, and do not bully people. He was very practical. He was very clear about his call to repentance. We're told some, if you will, personal things about John. That he wore a camel's hair garment. Means somewhere along the line, someone who is very rich helped him out. You don't slaughter a camel in the Middle East. I mean, that's like taking apart the engine of your car in order to tweak your dishwasher. The camel is the means not only of transportation, but of transport. Caravans of camels are the equivalent of tractor trailers in moving goods from one place to another. Now, camels wear out and camels will die, and then their skins will be taken, their coats will be taken. But it's very rare, and very few people have the luxury of wearing the hair of a camel. But we're told that John did. This preacher of repentance came with his own mink coat. We're also told that he had a strange diet, that he ate locusts and wild honey. Wild honey has got nothing to do with bees. In the midst of the desert, ever so often you find an oasis, a water hole, where greenery grows and where palm trees grow and where there is refreshment. And those palm trees are date palms. And what the people will do is they will take cheesecloth, something like cheesecloth, and they will wrap the clump of dates with this cheesecloth. And they'll do it for two purposes, so that the birds of the air don't eat the dates. That's important. But number two, as the dates ripen, a very, very rich honey falls that oozes out of the dates. A very rich honey that's very, very tangy and very sought after. And it's called the wild honey. And so part of John's diet was that he had a sweet tooth and he ate the wild honey. John had an immense amount of power and he had a great many of followers. Andrew, the first disciple of Jesus, was a follower of John the Baptizer. And we're told that at one point John sees Jesus and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," and Andrew goes off, leaves John, and follows Jesus. And after he has found Jesus, he goes and he tells his brother Peter and brings Simon Peter to meet Jesus. And then later on, James and John are joined to that group. But it's out of the followers of John the Baptizer that some of those disciples of Jesus emerge. We're also told that there was a magnetism about him that attracted not only the ordinary person, but people in high places. John the Baptizer criticized Herod to his face. Herod had married his brother's wife. And John the Baptizer says, "That is immoral. You can't do that." And Herod had John imprisoned. But we're told in the scriptures that Herod was fascinated with John. That even though he had John in the dungeon underneath the palace, he couldn't help himself. He kept sneaking down there to have conversations with this man. That this man had a grip on him. That this man had power over him. That there was something seductive about John. There was something you just could not shake loose about this man. And with all the power that Herod had, he had this compulsion to be close to John. And then, of course, there's the story of Herod's birthday in which Salome dances for him and he makes a promise to her that he will give her anything, even up to half his kingdom. And she goes to her mother and says, "What shall I ask for?" And her mother says, "You go back and you tell the king that you want the head of John the Baptizer on a platter." So with great sadness, Herod gives in, doesn't want to be seen as taking back his word, and he dispatches his guards to behead John and to return with his head on a platter. And then we're told simply that John's disciples came and took his body and took it off to burial. It's a strong figure, a figure whose purpose is to alert people of something that is about to happen. He is a harbinger, an announcer of something that is about to happen. Now, the gospel today is not from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. It's from John. John the evangelist. And he doesn't have any of those details that I just talked about. He has a different take on who John the Baptist is. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness to the light so that all might believe. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. In St. John's Gospel, one of the strong themes that plays all the way through that Gospel is the theme of light and darkness. The light came into the darkness, and the darkness was unable to overcome it. The light came into the world, and the world could not receive it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Whoever comes to me will not walk in darkness. That theme of light as a description of who the Messiah is very central to John's gospel. And so for John the Evangelist, the pivotal role that John the Baptizer has is he comes as a witness to the light. He points to the light. He calls people to see the light break in the dawn of the day. He calls people to see what is beyond the horizon. He calls people out of their lethargy, out of their preoccupation with life as is, to see something breaking in, anew, something scattering darkness, something bringing light. It's a powerful image as to who this great person is, this precursor, this forerunner of Jesus. Now, this is all put before us because it's meant to have something to do with us. It's meant to be instructive about our lives. You and I are called to be witnesses to the light. Just as John the Baptizer witnessed to the light so that the world might believe, so you and I are called to witness to the light. To see the presence and the hand of God in the dailiness of life. To step beyond our skepticism. To see the hand of God in the events of human life. Sometimes we don't see that very clearly. Sometimes it's very cloudy, very misty. But to witness and to proclaim that there is light. And that's really what Paul was trying to teach as he writes to the Thessalonians in the second reading. He asked them to be people who see the good, who see the light. My sisters and brothers, Rejoice in everything. Do not quench the spirit. Do not blow out the light. Do not hide the light. Do not allow the darkness to overtake the light. Do not quench the spirit. Hold fast to what is good. And may your spirit and your soul and your body be kept sound as we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who calls us to be faithful. And he is the one who will do whatever he has said he will do. For John the Evangelist, John the Baptizer is the poster boy for hope. For that confident, trusting sureness that God is present and that God's will be done.